Will we be back in the New York groove tomorrow at the NFL draft? I don't know what the Giants are going to do at 5-7, but the first round is going to be so exciting. This is a special NFL draft 2022 episode, and you do not want to miss it. Fill up those wine glasses.
Hello, everyone.
Hello there.
Welcome on this Tuesday night. Thank you guys for joining us. Not our usual Wednesday night. So if you are here with us on a Tuesday, we appreciate it very much.
What do you guys do on Tuesdays?
This is episode 202 of the Real Football Fans of New Jersey. And this is a special edition mini episode. This is a draft themed episode, as we are, you know, in draft week for the NFL. It will be starting on Thursday. So we are going to have a mini episode for you tonight, and the fact that we are not covering any housewives tonight. So we'll give you all the juicy housewives stories next week. But tonight is all about the theme of the NFL draft in just two short days. Our outline is a little bit different tonight, but again, all draft coverage. We've got polls, we've got predictions, we've got, you know, games. So it's a lot to cover. And honestly, this was a great episode to get prepared for. Just, you know, because in 2 days, you know, I want to kind of know where we're at, where the Giants are at. We got two first round picks.
And
dive into what we think, you know, might happen, especially in the first round of the NFL draft on Thursday. It was good to do a little research on that and kind of get ourselves prepped.
I mean, yeah, especially people like me that avoid mock drafts until literally like the day before. And obviously, you know, we had to, you know, I had to, you know, throw in the towel one day early this year. And it's not that people, you know, I scroll past them. I glance at some people, but I'm not the one who like really sits down. I can't bring myself to do it. Because even like, we'll get into like some details tonight. And like, I wonder how many people had the same mindset as me on certain things. But, and then we get to Thursday and it's probably completely different than anything anyone had ever thought. So like, yeah. I don't know. Like it just, for me, it's a little crazy to get into them. It gives me anxiety, to be honest, but I did have to, you know, again, throw in the towel for tonight's episode. So
well, I think what's kind of exciting about the 2022 NFL draft is that I do feel it's going to be a little unexpected. I feel like there's been drafts in the past where not only do you kind of know definitely who's going to be number one. We've had drafts where it seems like a lock and we definitely know like 1, 2, and 3. I feel like this could be a shakeup. I've read so many mock drafts. I've seen so many different things. Nobody is necessarily on the same page with each other. I think it's going to be a wild and unpredictable draft.
There are so many like possible scenarios, 1, 2, 3, the entire first round, obviously 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. There are so, it's like, combinations of a lock. You can make so many different ones. I think like you would absolutely, you just hit it perfectly. This is not a year where you can confidently say, I know exactly what the top three picks are, because I'm telling you now, you don't.
A lot of teams too that have multiple first rounders. Yeah. So that definitely calls for some trades for sure. Not going to be surprised if we see multiple trades in the first round.
This will be one of the most heavily traded first rounds, in my opinion, with I think 5+ trades. I think it's going to be one of the heaviest.
It could happen.
It's going to be a trade frenzy, and I think the Giants might be involved in that. So we could see that for sure.
But that kind of ties into our poll questions, at least our first one here. We want to give you the results of our poll questions that we asked you, three NFL draft themed questions that we put on our social media pages. And this first one is, this is kind of like a little bit of chatter that's been going on around the league. Should the New York Jets trade their number 10 overall draft pick to San Fran for wide receiver Deebo Samuel? Now, keep in mind, the Jets do also have the number 4 overall draft pick. So, you know, they're giving away the 10 for Deebo, keeping number 4. Would you do this? Should the New York Jets do this? 83% of you said yes. Caitlin, what did you go with?
It's a no-brainer, in my opinion. The Jets, even if they keep that 10 spot, they're going after a wide receiver anyway. And I think the wide receivers in this draft are very interesting, as there's so much talent, but can that talent be overridden by linemen, pass rushers, cornerbacks, things like that? Yeah, that could happen. And that's going to push probably some wide receivers out. So that 10 spot looks nice for them. And I think that's what they would do anyway at that spot. So if you have the option to trade with San Francisco and get Deebo Samuel, an already well-rounded going into his, fourth season in the NFL, wide receiver with a younger quarterback like the Jets, hell yeah, advance on that opportunity.
I went with yes as well, and I agree with you that it's a no-brainer. And the reason I say that is because Deebo is still young. He's still got a long career ahead.
Long career.
You can never predict injuries and stuff like that, but hopefully a long career ahead of him. And to me, number 10, and you can argue number 1, number 2, number 3, nothing is set in stone anymore. And number 10 to me is like, you know, we've seen bust picks at number 1. Number 10 could be hit or miss. You never know. Why not just go with a guy who's still young and know that he is a surefire bet, one of the best receivers in the league? That's a position that you need. You still get to keep your 4 pick to do what you want with that. I agree with you, Kate. It's a no-brainer. 83% of you agree it's a no-brainer. I would 100% go after Deebo.
Just do it.
Number 2, will Kenny Pickett be the first quarterback drafted? 61% of you said no. We're going to kind of get into it later. I don't know if we should reveal our answers.
Maybe we shouldn't. Let's not reveal our answers. We'll talk about it later. But again, obviously, if you guys are watching right now live on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter, you know, give us your responses. If you didn't already respond to our polls earlier, go ahead. Give us your answers to these two. We can talk about them for sure. So obviously we're not going to tell you if we think Kenny Pickett's off the board first. We'll get back into that later. But if you guys watching now want to give us your insight, please go ahead. So,
and we'll keep this last one a little mysterious as well. But
spooky.
Will 3 plus quarterbacks be drafted in the first round? 60% of you said no.
Yeah.
So and we will dive into that as well.
Yeah, I think that's actually a little bit low for the no, I thought. I thought the no response would actually be a little bit higher. So that's the only insight I'll give to give on that one. I'm not giving you my answer. I'm actually just a little surprised that it was only at 60%. So and a ton of, week after week, we've got a ton of responses. So thank you guys. As always. But yeah, I mean, listen, we're here to talk, you know, all things draft. You know, we just asked some pretty good questions that have been top of mind for many people over the last couple of weeks, some over the last couple of months. And as we inch closer, 2 days away from the 2022 NFL draft, these are the questions that are going to just keep inching. As we inch closer, they're going to become even more top of mind. More scenarios that we didn't even discuss, we will discuss a little bit later, are going to come up. So it's, 2 days, it seems like a short time, but a lot can actually go down in 2 days, especially when we're talking draft time.
Also, don't forget about, I know, like, obviously now that we're here with the draft and free agency has really quieted down. Just think about the quarterback position and guys like guys to pay attention to, guys like Jimmy Garoppolo, Baker Mayfield. Mm-hmm. We could see things happen with guys like that right before the draft. Or we can see things happen with them right at the conclusion of the draft. Right. So I understand that free agency has gotten a little bit quieter, but once the draft like shakes out and all is said and done, and you know, there are teams that still need certain guys at certain positions, we're going to see free agency pick up again. So yeah, definitely keep an eye on that. We'll keep you posted as much as we can on all of our social media pages.
Absolutely. All righty. So we are getting into our second area of the episode. So Katie and I are going to give you our top five pick predictions. We're not doing the whole first round for you. That's batshit crazy. Like, I'm not giving we could give you the entire Giants draft too. We're not doing that. Like, that's kind of the area where I'm like, I can't physically, my mind can't wrap myself around that. So we're going to give you our top five pick predictions, but the kicker here is that no trades happen. We're going to give you our picks if no trades happen. So it could, like I said, I predicted five plus trades going on in the first round. We're just going to give you straight up what we think is going to happen. No trades, just, you know, five picks, five teams, five picks. Yeah. So how do you want to do it? Do you want to go from Jacksonville to the New York Giants one by one and each give our pick?
One through five, starting with Jacksonville at one.
That's what I meant. So do you want both of us to do Jacksonville first and then we move on to Detroit? Okay. So with the number one overall pick of the 22 NFL draft, Katie, who do you think the Jacksonville Jaguars are going to take?
I've been saying it for weeks now on our show when it's been asked, when it's been brought up. I got to stick with my guns here. I'm going with defensive end Aiden Hutchinson out of Michigan.
All righty. So I kind of spiced mine up a bit. So, and I think it's one of those things where anything can happen. These are all five of my picks, I think, could be a little spicy. A lot of no name guys though, but I am going with offensive lineman, It's icky so easy, but it's
Ekwonu.
Damn it. I knew it. You know what? I practiced too before the show. I really sincerely did. Ekwonu. I really practiced. And then I'm just obsessed with the name Icky. That's why.
Because I think Kate, I know you've been saying for weeks now, when I've been saying Aiden Hutchinson, you've been saying, get a lineman, protect your franchise quarterback, protect your young quarterback in Trevor Lawrence. And this is a dark horse first pick, but I've seen it in the mocks.
Yep.
And it could be for exactly like you said, like protect that young quarterback, make sure he's upright. We've got, you know, we have, I think, a couple of Pro Bowl caliber offensive linemen in these first couple of picks. So I wouldn't necessarily be surprised, but that's, you know, an interesting pick.
Yeah, and that's definitely my reasoning for it. You know, the Jacksonville Jaguars need a laundry list of positions. For me, my biggest thing would be protecting Trevor Lawrence, like you had just said. And I have been saying that for weeks. I think Aiden Hutchinson is a very talented player, and he's going to go when he goes. I think these teams, though, really not need to pull the trigger on maybe the most talented person in the draft and look at what you need skill-wise per position at this time. So position at this time. So for me, and Icky is one of the most versatile linemen in this group. I'll talk about that a little later, actually. He really is. So I think this would be a great pick for them for sure.
All right.
Number two, the Detroit Lions, the second overall pick. Who do you have them taking?
So I will say, I thought this out of the five was kind of my hardest one to pick. I saw a lot of things all over the board in different mock drafts, but basically a lot of what I saw was if you didn't take Aiden Hutchinson going to Jacksonville, you had him going to Detroit at two.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously I have Aiden off the board, but I'm going to stick with the same position. I'm going to go with defensive end Trevon Walker out of Georgia.
I like that pick. He is not in my top five, full disclaimer. He's again, a very, very talented player. Had to play Georgia a couple times this season from an Alabama standpoint. So I know these guys well, and clearly their talents peaked way at the end of the season to win that national championship. So a lot of these guys you are seeing are that national champion caliber, and really drove Georgia to their success in the past couple seasons. So I think it's a good pick for sure. So mine is something that people say will not be done this early in a draft ever at a number two pick. I think it could be done straight up based on this kid's skill. He is good. He's going to be around in the NFL for a very long time, in my opinion. I am going with cornerback Sauce Gardner, also known as Ahmad Gardner, but we like to give a little nickname poo to Sauce. But yeah, honestly, it's to me, and you guys know, I love the positions that don't always get, you know, the front page, the cover, the tabloids, the headlines. I love the guys that are going in, they're getting the work done, they're getting, you know, I love a good cornerback. I love a good lineman. I love these positions. So for a kid like this with this talent, for me to see him coming in the number two pick, I love it. And I'll eat that up. If it actually happens on draft night, I'll be very, very happy.
All right.
All righty. Number three, the Houston Texans. They have the third overall pick in the NFL draft. Katie, who do you have going to them?
Not that crazy for you to have Sauce at number two, because I got him at number three. So I am going with cornerback Sauce Gardner out of Cincinnati. I've read many articles kind of describing him as the guy who is going to live up to the hype of his draft status. He is going to come in and set the league on fire.
I'm excited to watch him.
To me, I'm not going to be surprised to see him off the board early. Kate, you got him at two. I got him at three. I think he's going to be an impact player, like, right off the bat.
So with Houston, for me, I think they're going to be a team. They're kind of like, don't really know what's going on. They'll be the team that's going to pick best available. And for me, that's Aiden Hutchinson at this time. So that's who they'll go after. And Houston, another team that needs a laundry list full of positions. So he'd be very beneficial down in Houston.
All right.
Alrighty, number four, we're in New York, but we're not with the Giants yet. It's very interesting to have that 4-5 slot to both New York teams, and it's keeping me on edge, and it's getting my palms very sweaty as we move into Thursday. The New York Jets have the number four overall pick in the NFL draft. Katie, who do you have them selecting?
So with the fourth pick, our little brother, the New York Jets, I have
one them- final dig before Thursday.
I have them taking already four picks in. My third defensive end in four picks, I have them taking Kayvon Thibodeau out of Oregon. The Jets, as much as like they've always for years now needed offensive talent, and of course they did draft Zach Wilson, but they're notorious for taking defensive players in the first round, notorious for taking best on the board defensive player in the first round. I think this is probably going to be, could very likely be their guy at four.
Katie, we have the same number four overall pick. And We do. We're in the same exact mindset as well. You know, again, another team that definitely needs a lot. But if you look back on years past, kind of where their trends lie with the draft, what they're kind of doing mindset wise, I think defense is always front and center, no matter how hard or how much they need to fix that offense and other things that they need to do. Like, they're going to draft that defense. And if he's clearly there, he's on the board, makes a lot of sense for them, in my opinion. Kills me because I would love to see the magical 5 kneel for the New York Giants, 7 Kayvon Thibodeau. But yeah, so I do. But realistically, putting all my hopes and dreams aside, if he's there at number four for the Jets, I think it's a good slide in for them.
Well, I like what you said too at the beginning of the show as well when we were discussing the Jets possibly giving up their 10 pick to acquire Deebo Samuel. I think four is like we just said, they always need offensive weapons. Right. I don't think there's a wide receiver that I would take at four in this draft, but I think you could comfortably sit at 10. Let's say they don't go after Deebo. They could comfortably sit at 10 and have their crack at either the number one or number two wide receiver in this class.
I think it might
pretty. I think ball's in their court to kind of maybe take a defensive player or best available at four. And sit at 10 and grab that offensive weapon that we're talking about.
Absolutely. All righty. And then number five, we have the fifth overall pick, the New York Giants. Katie, we've got a lot on our slate as well that we need. There's some clear no-brainers of what we need, but who do you have the Giants at number five?
If this shakes out how I have it, you know, an offensive lineman has not been taken my 1 through 4, which leaves the Giants to, I would think, take who they like best at the offensive line position. That seems like a no-brainer to me. But the Giants do like to get weird at draft time. You never know.
Always.
I think they like, and I think I'm going to go with offensive tackle Ikem Ekwonu out of NC State. So you have him at 1. I have him at 5. I just get this feeling that that's who the Giants like, especially if he's sitting there available for them.
Yeah. Obviously for me in my draft, he is not sitting at number 5 right. for us, which is definitely realistic. But that gives us room to go after offensive line and Evan Neal. And for me, that would be a Bama boy. I know his skills. He's very, very talented. I think we need to kind of look at other linemen in the rest of the draft, though, with Daniel Jones and his quarterback style and just being I'm pretty sure he's a lefty. So understanding that dynamic as well, that just kind of like doesn't screw up the line structure, but you need to have like really good solid areas on both sides of him. So we're going to have to think about that a little bit more. So when we're looking at positions like guard and stuff like that, like, can they be versatile? I'm not 100% sure. These kids are coming out of college, so they're going to have to be played around with a little bit in the NFL. There's been many instances though, where someone comes in as one position and they kind of move you around just to see, you know,
helps an offensive lineman's draft status is always the potential of, are you able to play multiple spots on
right
because in the NFL you're going to be expected to do so. People are going to get injured, and if you are a guy that is versatile enough where we can move you if we need to move you, that's obviously super attractive.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the Giants are in, you know, good hands now with coaching and management and things like that. In the past, one of my biggest frustrations was doing work with these linemen, that one draft, we drafted so many, but then none of them ever played. And our starters were playing so poorly. So why didn't you just start other guys, throw people into the mix? Because like you said, if you're coming into the NFL as a lineman, you need to be versatile. Mm-hmm. I need to be able to put you, you know, where I need to put you if something happens. So I think that's been a fault of ours in the past. So that's why I brought that up. Like, let's look at the scope of things. If you're going to go Evan Neal at 5, that's great. But now you judge him of what he's done in the past, where he's strong. Now let's look at every other lineman that we're going to go after in this draft. How do they fit into the mix of things? So, but I would love it as well. You know, if Icky's available, I would not be disappointed with that at number 5. We need linemen so badly. That is our biggest thing in this draft this year. So bring them on. Bring me my linemen. And at number 5, it's got to be the best of the best in this class. So, and who's on the board. So
absolutely. Totally agree with you there. Let's see what else we potentially agree on as we get to our game for the night, our famous game, Sit, Yo, Drink, and Fill in Yo Blank. We did play this last year during our draft-themed episode. A lot of the questions are the same. Some of them are different just based on the theme of this specific draft and kind of like hot topics of things that might be going on. But yeah, we have 10 fill-in-the-blank questions here, and we'll kick it off with number 1. I think the number of quarterbacks to be drafted in the first round this year will be blank.
Kate? So I am going with 2. Do I agree with it? No. But I think that it'll be 2.
I'm going with 3. Do I agree with it? No.
No.
Do I think it'll be 3? Yes. So that being said, question number 2. I think the first round drafted quarterbacks will go in this order, blank.
So I am going with Malik Willis to be the first one taken off the board, followed by Kenny Pickett.
And I'm going with Malik Willis first. I think a very potential target could be the Carolina Panthers. Yep. I see Kenny Pickett being the second drafted quarterback. And I feel like this is a dark horse because I know that me saying 3 will go is based on our poll is like a little controversial. Right. Not everybody thinks that. I'm going to say that just a dark horse, weird team maybe is at the end of the first is going to take Matt Corral. So I'm going to go with three. Weird things happen, especially with quarterbacks and teams that are in desperate need of one. So I'm going to stick with it.
Yeah. Yeah. I wonder too. So this will be a little interesting. So I wonder, and this is like really outside of the box, me thinking right now with, but taking the first round is still a little tricky. I wonder, like, say like some of those guys, maybe it's only one, like maybe we only see Willis in the first round and some couple of guys could fall over into the second. I wonder if it would be on a team strategy to pick up a really solid, you know, quarterback in this draft, you know, later on, because I don't think they should go in the first round, in my opinion, and use that like for, I guess, like trade, like things like that, like for a team that might be desperate, like what can I do? Or someone who needs to advance probably in the future. Maybe they're not desperate this season, but let me hold on to him now and use him later, because I'm not wasting a first round pick on this individual. I'm going to get him later, but here's what I can get in the future from him. So a little out of the box thinking there, but I just kind of like sparked my right a little bit.
Well, a team I think to keep an eye on too, by the way, with my answer is don't sleep on the fact that Detroit has the 2 pick, but they also have the last pick of the first round. And I have read some weird mock drafts where with the last pick in the first round, they snag a quarterback. So that could be a potential Matt Corral spot.
Oh, they need so much more. Just stick with Jared Goff. You need so much more.
I'm not saying that this is what teams should do. I'm just saying I have a weird feeling it's going to happen. So
yeah.
All right. Number three, the top three positions I want the Giants to focus on in the draft are blank.
So obviously offensive line. Need it. We do need a pass rusher. I'll be okay with taking one or two. A little focus more on like other defensive positions as well. Let's take a look there. And then also, I think we could be successful later in the draft, especially if that number 7 pick turns into real estate for us. We need a tight end. It's very simple. It's plain and simple. And I think we could actually find someone in the 3rd or the 4th round. And I think we'd be able to be successful with this individual. So, that's what I got.
Ding, 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 ding. We are exactly the same in the exact same order that you said it. And my exact same reasoning for tight end is that, you know, like, I'm not even saying that we need to take a tight end in the 2nd or 3rd round. I'm talking about like, it's just a position at some point in the draft.
We got to find it.
Addressed. And I do think it's a strong tight end class. And I do think we could find a gem in the 4th, the 5th.
Absolutely.
But it is a position that I do want to see them draft somebody.
I agree. Yep.
All right. Number 4, if I had to say, I think the blank should target a running back in the 1st round.
So I guess the asterisk here is if I had to say, no running back should be going in the 1st round. I'm telling you guys that. That's even more aggressive than the quarterback. I'd actually say a quarterback will go. You should not be taking a running back. And no team really even needs one that desperately. But if I had to pick a team, I guess I'm going to go with the Chargers on this one, because you have Austin Eckler, who's very talented, but you look at injuries and you kind of look at, they don't even have a 4th one right now. They just have 3. I don't know who their other 2 are, to be honest. I don't know if they're here for the long term or they could really back him up. So but for me, that yells desperation in the 1st round in this specific draft. They could find someone later on, but that's the only team that really stood out to me.
All right. I'm like basically on the same page with you where I put no one asterisk. No one should be taking a running back in the 1st round. Also, just because I don't think there's any running backs this year that are 1st round caliber running backs.
No, they're not.
But as far as, and again, I've been saying this for a couple weeks now on our show, just based on games and research that we've done, we're actually becoming a league again where there's like, I think there's a lot of good running backs. And so what I did was I pulled up, we played a game a couple weeks ago where we pulled everybody's starting quarterback, wide receiver, running back. I looked at all 32 teams, RB1.
Yeah.
And honestly, nobody's in serious, serious trouble. I would say the worst, and this is going to be my answer, I would say the worst RB1 in the league right now is Houston with Rex Burkhead. So I'm going to go with Houston.
Yeah. Yeah. But again, that's a desperation.
Yeah, no, like none of this needs to, we both agree, none of it should or needs to be happening in the 1st round. But. All right, number five, the offensive prospect I think will make the most immediate impact this season will be blank.
I'm going with Icky on this one, just because I think he is one of the most versatile linemen. We just brought that up before with the New York Giants, like making that argument of finding these guys. And what I mean by versatile is moving him up and down the line, but I think he's versatile team per team too. He will not go to a bad team and struggle. He will go to any team in this league and do very well and help that team how he needs to help that team. I don't care if it's the Jacksonville Jaguars, you know, or literally the Rams. Like, he could go on any team and do his best. And I think that's really what pushes him to like that. And I put him as my first overall pick. Like, that's why I put him there, because of that talent. He has that caliber. So for me, offensively, he's going to be the one that stands out the most this year.
Ding, 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 ding. I went with Icky as well. Caitlin's got him at one. I've got him at five to the Giants. Either scenario, he's going to be expected to, you know, play right away. I think he's going to make an immediate impact. I think he's definitely one of the top overall prospects at any position in this year's draft. So I am going with Icky as well. All right, number six, the defensive prospect I think will make the most immediate impact this season will be blank.
I kept the trend going with the fun names because I did pick Sauce on this one. So I did pick Sauce Gardner, cornerback for Cincinnati. And I honestly, again, a guy where it doesn't matter what team he falls to, I think he's going to be successful for them. Because then if you look at all our defensive positions, you know, I'll take like Aiden Hutchinson, for example. I won't bring Thibodeau into the mix, but let's look at like an Aiden Hutchinson. I picked him to go to Houston at three. I don't understand. I mean, I don't fully believe that he'll bring that caliber and that talent to a team that is just so unbelievably bad and so unbelievably like unorganized. Like, that might get to him. I see that as him as an individual and as a player, like those kind of things getting to his head and like not being able to produce what he's able to produce on a daily basis as the athlete, as the edge as he is. So for me, like defensive wise, I had to give this a Sauce because he, to me, will be that player on any team. And he's that player that we're going to see years to come just being very successful. So right off the bat, we're going to see it.
Ding, 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 ding. I went with Sauce as well. I'm definitely expecting him to come in right away and, you know, be a shutdown corner in the league. And like you said, a player who will be successful for years to come. So right. We agree there. Number seven, I would like the Giants to draft blank at the number five spot.
I did say it earlier as my prediction, and I hope it does come true. I am going to go with Evan Neal at the number five spot.
All right. So I went with a twofer because, like, we're going to be happy either way, I think. I'm going Evan Neal, offensive tackle, or offensive tackle, Icky Ekwonu.
I would be happy with either as well.
Totally, totally happy with either one. I think the seven.
I don't know who we're going to pick. It gives me butterflies.
I think the seven is a little like up in the air, but I really truly believe five has to be and will be an offensive lineman.
Yeah.
Number eight, I would like the Giants to draft blank at the number seven spot.
Yeah. So, I mean, listen, in the weeks leading up to the draft, even months ago when we first initially started talking about it, like where we knew the Giants' real estate was, what we needed, you guys know I went on rants after rants, like get just all offensive linemen. That's all we need, everything like that. But as we've gotten closer, we're inching closer to Thursday. If Kayvon Thibodeau is available at number seven, I can't pass up that opportunity because we do need edge rushers. And I think that if that's the way it falls for us, 5 to 7, that means other linemen are actually being pushed further back. So that's a good thing for us. I think other teams are going to, like, I think a lot of teams in this draft need linemen, which is kind of scary too. So, like, that might be a reason to pick up again at number seven. But I think that if he's available, take him. I get concerned that he's not going to be available. So as much as I want him, I don't think it's realistic. I think the Giants are going to do some sort of trade scenario at 7. And if that is the case, if anyone in the New York Giants organization is watching us right now, I just beg for you to make the smartest trade move of your life, of your entire life, of this entire franchise. Like, we are back to back 5-7 in a draft that's filled with positions we need.
Yeah.
Don't mess this up. Yes. Like, don't fuck it up. So that's all I have to say.
I agree. And so mine is very similar to you in the fact of the question specifically states who we want. Realistically, I have two people here. I realistically, according to your top five that we think and my top five,
right,
both of these guys would already be gone in both of ours. So I don't know if somebody is going to fall to us at 7 here, but my ideal scenario would be, and this is not necessarily a position we desperately need, I just think it would be a best on the board scenario, would be a cornerback Sauce Gardner, or I went with defensive end Kayvon Thibodeaux.
Listen, both of those would be
We need a pass rusher. If either one of those is there at 7, one of those guys, that would be great for the Giants.
Absolutely.
All right, number 9, with the Jets drafting just one pick before the Giants, I could see them drafting blank.
Yeah, I mean, despite what I said like earlier, like that was like my official like pick list. I think like, and that was me, I kind of made some like extreme moves, I feel, in my top, not extreme, but like moved some things around like from like what the general public might see. I think naturally a lineman might fall to the Jets. So I can see it again. I know we've brought their names up many a times, but these are your top five players. I can see Icky or Neil falling to the Jets at number 4. So, and I think that would be something for them to advance on. But again, you know, we've talked about the history of them going after defensive players. If Kayvon Thibodeaux is there, they might do that. But I think like kind of maybe naturally if a lineman falls at that position, they might go after it. So.
Yeah. I mean, I kind of went with what I picked as my prediction, earlier, but I'm going with defensive end Kayvon Thibodeaux. I think it could be him. I've seen Sauce at 4 to them. I've seen Evan Neal at 4 to them. It might really just be at 4, like who lands where they land there, like right, what the board is looking like. I could see so many different scenarios, but I'm going to stick with Kayvon. Mm-hmm. And then last but not least, I think the first wide receiver off the draft board will be blank.
So this is interesting. And I do definitely want to say like, this is a, you know, maybe this is a little biased for me, but I'm going to say it's non-biased. I'm going to go with Alabama's Jameson Williams on this. And I know a lot of people will argue that Ohio State's Garrett Wilson is a better wide receiver, things like that. He's definitely more talented. Where I kind of look at it, when I've been looking at these mock drafts, and a lot of it was today, like I already said, I threw in the towel, but I've been scanning some, you know, I'll scroll through Twitter and scan. Like I don't study them religiously. Jameson Williams falls in the same spot every time and is the same like strength when rated, like who are the top players in the draft, falls in the same spot. A guy like Garrett Wilson, I've seen all over the map. I've seen him super early, top 10. I've seen him falling to the second round. I've seen his skill level, maybe the 5th best wide receiver in the draft, the number 1 wide receiver. So for me, that's not something that I'd like to see. We've mentioned the same 5 guys over this last, you know, 35 minutes, because that's who the best guys are. So now you're introducing a new position at wide receiver. You want to see some consistency. So with Williams, I've actually seen more of that consistency there when being spoken about amongst analysts, things like that. So for me, I think at the end of the day, when someone has to choose a wide receiver, he's going to be the first off the board come Thursday. So a little long-winded answer, but I wanted to, I know some Garrett Wilson fans might come for my neck for saying that. So I had to give some back thought to it. So
I have to respectfully disagree.
And that's okay.
I went with Garrett Wilson and I went with him. I read probably in just from today, obviously, like I probably read like 10 different mock drafts And I would say he was the one that I saw most consistently going as the first wide receiver off the board.
I think that just shows, again, the reason why I don't read mock drafts, because they're all different.
And I saw, actually, before I saw Jameson, too, I saw a lot of Chris Olave. I saw him. I saw Garrett Wilson. I would say Garrett Wilson was who I saw most consistently. Right. And I do probably think, like we said, with the Jets at 10, I think Washington at 11, I think that's kind of where we're going to start to see the wide receivers come off the board. And I think it could be Garrett at one of those spots.
We could. I think that as well, that could be our first like spotlight of it. I can also actually seeing it being pushed back a couple more spots.
It could be.
Yeah.
It could
be. It's a position that I think someone will definitely go in the first round. I think that's guaranteed. I think we might, as the draft goes on, we might see it get pushed a little bit more than what people thought.
I think we could see 4 in the first round.
Okay. Yeah. I think that's a very average number, to be honest, you know, with the amount of picks there are. But again, I think it might come more towards the middle or later half. So.
All right. Well, that was our game. A lot of good, interesting predictions there. And now I gotta pull up last year's game and see what we had said last year.
I know. That's what I get the most interested about. Like, what did we say?
Right?
Yeah.
Fascinating stuff.
Well, we did not pick Kadarius Toney to the New York Giants. I can freaking guarantee you that. I was thinking about that earlier because I was when all that went down, I was so confused with what was going on, because, you know, Dallas and Philly had made that swap, and like obviously Devontae Smith's off the board. So I'm crying, obviously, like, because I didn't want him to go. I didn't want him to go to the Philadelphia Eagles. Like, that was my biggest thing. And so like everything just starts happening, and it's up to the Giants. And then like, I think the NFL does a really bad job with like announcing that a trade is happening and like what's going on. They like, it's not really like, communicated well. So like, but Twitter is like already knew about it. It's like, I don't know how they knew about it. It's like, I'm looking at Twitter, waiting for them to talk about it on TV. Had like, it was the most stressful, like 3 minutes of my life for them to finally say, like, we did this stuff with the Bears and got Kadarius Toney. Like, it was like, I had no idea what was happening.
I think we said last year, though, that we kind of, and Caitlin, like, you know, you're on Twitter. I'm not on Twitter. But obviously, we were texting throughout the whole draft and everything like that. And I think our big complaint last year, I remember, I think it was your get it off your chest.
Oh, it was on Twitter before.
How everything was breaking on Twitter, like, a full minute or two before it would happen on TV. So it kind of, like, if I was on Twitter, I would be putting my phone away for this year's draft. And just, I like to watch it. I like to hear it live on TV rather than see it on Twitter, you know, 2 minutes before.
But here's the problem with that, because I am on Twitter and so is our show is on Twitter. Obviously, right. I'll do the stuff for the show. We're then behind on our reaction. And it's like everyone else in the world made their fucking reaction. And then like, here we are 10 minutes late. Like, that's how bad the delay was last year. And I'm like, why is it so bad? But I think I'm going to stick to that this year just because of how, at least with number 5, I think the Giants are going to again do something crazy at number 7. So I might need to go to Twitter to understand what they're doing, because they did something crazy last year. And like I just explained, I had the biggest panic attack for 3 minutes of my life last year during the draft, not knowing what was going on. So let's just hope that that's not the case this year. It's just a smooth draft for us. Let's hope that.
Yeah.
All righty. Well, speaking of last year's get it off your chest, it is that part of the episode where we are going to talk about anything. Well, hopefully draft related. Draft related, positive, negative, anything you want to say. So Katie, why don't you go ahead and get us started?
Mine is draft related. And as much as we have been talking about this upcoming draft for the last several episodes, this is the first time where I'm admitting to all of you that I'm not going to be able to watch much of the NFL draft this year. I will be away this week, and I'll actually be getting on an airplane at 8:00 at night on Thursday, right as the draft is starting. I'm going to a friend's bachelorette party. I am very excited about it. We're going to warm weather, much warmer than New Jersey. So no complaints there.
Yeah.
But it is going to be pretty wild. The fact that I'm basically, you know, taking off on a plane at the same time the NFL draft is starting with the New York Giants picking at 5 and 7. So yeah, just everybody know that when I land, I'm going to be turning my phone off airplane mode and finding out who we have. So yes. Don't expect any initial reactions from me because I'm speaking of finding out late, I will be finding out late. So
yes. So, and it's, I know. And it's such a killer for me too, because obviously like football draft Giants games, literally Katie and I are constantly start to finish these things talking about every little thing that's going on. So it's, yeah. I'm still going to text Katie, like she's going to answer me. So everything. So she's going to probably land with airplane mode off. There's probably going to be like 100 missed text messages from me. Cause I'm going to give you commentary on like everything. So
I want to turn it off and I just want to see two text messages. This is who we took at 5. This is who we took at 7.
Oh, fine. Who am I going to text?
I can't read through all the fluff. Just give it to me straight. Tell
fine.
Me what it
is. Fine, fine. I'll have to just like type to myself then. Who am I going to text during the show? And I'm not. Oh, my God. So, all right. I'll figure that out. But I'll give you two straight, 5 and 7. Look for me on the text message. So okay. I'll give them to you. Obviously throughout the weekend too, you focus on the bachelorette party. I'll send you the hot breaking news. So don't you worry, but yeah, I'll try to grab some thoughts from Katie on Friday and Saturday. We're doing so through text message. So I know I'm hopping on, I think two of our Giants friends like live streams on Thursday and Friday. So Katie, I'll be able to grab your thoughts on Friday and read them out to the crew. But Thursday, I forget which one I'll be on. It's our friends at Big Blue Avenue. Thursday, right after the number 5 pick, I think I'll be hopping on just to give initial reactions. I can't promise it's going to be anything amazing. It's just going to be like, I don't know what's going on. So we'll see that. And then Friday, we obviously have a ton more going on. So we'll be able to do some cool things this weekend for sure. But yeah, speaking of cool things. So mine is, and I just found this out a couple days ago. So the Giants at the number 5 pick, Roger Goodell is actually going to take the stage with someone from mine and Katie's hometown of North Caldwell, New Jersey. His name is Sam Prince. He is a Make-A-Wish recipient. So his wish was to do this. And he actually found out Eli Manning called him and told him. So, yep. So he will do the 5th pick with Roger Goodell in Vegas. Eli Manning called him. So Sam has been battling a heart condition for quite some time and recently received a heart transplant. He is doing much better after the transplant. So, you know, props to that, like awesome, like very happy to hear that. But I just think this is so cool. I love when the NFL does stuff like this. Very awesome that it is that pick, that number 5 pick. And just also like Katie and I, that's where we grew up, North Caldwell, New Jersey. So clearly our show is the Jersey Spin. That's where we're from. So it seems as if Sam hosts a podcast as well, sports related. So he had replied, I saw the tweet from Tom Rock. He is a New York Giants reporter. I saw the tweet. So then I saw the follow up. Sam had had said, thank you guys so much. I'm so excited. So gave Sam a couple likes. And I think, you know, this might be a good opportunity for Katie and I to reach out and see if he wants to, you know, collab on anything. Cause, you know, same hometown, clearly it's a very small town. You guys,
give us Eli Manning's phone number.
Yeah. Now that like, did he call you direct? Do you know what the number is? Like, send that, but so this is very like close to home for Katie and I, obviously it's a very small town that we grew up in. So, very cool. And again, just, you know, I'm so happy to hear that, you know, he's doing better after his heart transplant. And this is a really cool, you know, opportunity for him and really cool for the Giants and for the NFL to come together together and to partner with Make-A-Wish. It's one of my favorite foundations in the world. So, so excited to see something like this. So just props to that. Like that makes me just so happy. So
Sam, give us somebody good at five, Sam.
Someone did. Someone tweeted at him.
You have to like, make an executive decision and switch what it is and read somebody else's name. Do what you got to do, my man.
That was the one of the tweets to him. Like, you better give us a good thing. And people were like, oh, it's not his decision. I thought the tweet was funny.
You got to do, Sam. We're behind you.
Just, you know, if you have to like push Roger Goodell off the stage and be like, I'm taking over on this picnic.
Oh, God.
Just lie. Say someone else's name if it's not who we want.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, obviously, we know we've got the NFL draft in 2 days, but things that you do not want to miss this week. Reminder, this is a Tuesday, so this actually started already, yes. But you can catch it on demand. Real Housewives of New Jersey started tonight at 8. Real Housewives of Orange County Reunion Part 2 on tomorrow at 9. The Real Housewives of Atlanta season 14 premiere is this Sunday at 8. And the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills season 12 premiere 15 days away. A lot happening in the Housewives world. As far as where you can watch the NFL draft, the first round is going to kick off on Thursday from 8 to 11:30 p.m.
That's late.
It's going to continue on Friday with rounds 2 and 3. That will air from 7 to 11:30 p.m.
Awesome.
And then it's going to finish out on Saturday, rounds 4 through 7 from 12 to 7 p.m. You can watch every round on ABC, ESPN, or NFL Network. Like Kate said, keep with us. We're going to try and, you know, give you our reactions, our thoughts. Go Giants. Let's make it happen. Let's get some good players. And, you know, everybody enjoy the draft. It's going to be a good one. And we cannot wait to talk about it on next week's show.
Oh, we have so much to talk about. So I've got the Alabama wine glass, putting those good vibes into the air still. But still, I know maybe at least number 5 will make a good decision. But the more I think about it, the more excited I am for Thursday. But yes, so we will. Cheers. The next time we see you, the Giants are going to have some new team members. So cheers to that. Let's go.
Good night, everybody. Thank you for watching. Bye. Bye-bye.